This is an amazing service. We've come all the way in one service. You heard the verses that anyone could possibly ever need to understand who Jesus is. We started with Genesis, and we moved on into Isaiah. Genesis was necessary because we had failed. Humankind failed. The fall came upon us because of sin. Sin, not so much in disobedience of God. The problem, in fact, of this sin still exists. The problem is very simply that we want to be God. We do that throughout our lives. There are certain things that we want to be in charge of. We want to fix. We want to do. And what God is offering throughout all of this is a different way, a different approach. In this case, what God says is, I will give you salvation through myself. Now, you remember how it said in the verse, I myself will make a covenant with you. Those of you that are part of this congregation know that I've made a big deal of that over the last few weeks. That when God promises of himself, it's that you can be assured of. Now, if I were to promise you of myself, well, that wouldn't be all that good. I can't always, in fact, I can rarely make things happen. See, I try the same thing in all the rest of the world. I try to be God every now and then. I want to fix it. I hear of something happening and I just want to rush in. God says, no. No, I have made a way for you. You don't need to. I have made a way. Isaiah said, with everything that was happening, I will bring a son. The government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting God. Now that can't be any clearer who Jesus is. Jesus is that son that was born in Bethlehem. Well, but why? Why in Bethlehem? Because Jesus is of the lineage of David. A few weeks ago, I made a big deal about the heritage within the Jewish tradition. Now, it's interesting because we've kind of caught that bug, those of us are Gentiles, and that's most of us in here. Some of you may have done ancestry. Some of you may be doing ancestry. Some of you may have realized that ancestry is... Janet did ancestry for her father's 80th birthday. And wow, she had a wonderful time going through and looking. But here's the difference. In the Jewish tradition, they don't go back to when your relatives arrived in the United States. Now, some people actually go back to Europe and find their relative. But in the Jewish tradition, they can go back to their tribe. What tribe are they from? Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, the house of David. And God said to the people of Israel, one day, One day a Savior will come from the house of David, and he will restore his father's throne, the house of David. He will bring it back to being. And not only that, he will bring peace. Not peace like as in no more war. We don't seem to be able as a human race to be able to figure that one out. But no more war. Peace. The Hebrew is shalom. You've probably heard that word before. But here's the problem. The biblical languages, both Hebrew and Koine Greek, and by the way, there is a little of there is a third language that has not a whole lot in it. But Hebrew and Greek, you can't translate word for word. In Hebrew, the word shalom, you look in your Bibles, it says peace. But it doesn't just mean peace. Shalom means so much of that. It means contentment. It means satisfaction. Love with your brothers and your sisters and your fellow human beings. You see, it is so much more than just the nation of war that God is talking about. God is talking about a inner peace and outward peace. I love it when children come. We have one night, and I love the fact that he's here. Because it reminds me every time I hear those verses. And he says, and at that time, a little child will lead them. Have you ever wondered about that verse? Most of you think, you've got to be kidding me, really? I mean, goodness gracious. Well, so we've had some leaders that are like little children. No, he's saying that life will be so shalom, so content, that yes, a little child will lead them. How is it that a little child will lead them? I am absolutely convinced. And I think it's theologically sound. That children, when they are born, they are at their closest to God until they reach that old age and they are about to die. The two closest point God. And as they grow, when they're 2, 3, 4, yes, they are still human. I know. 2-year-olds demonstrate that very well. They learn the word no. I mean, did any of you parents sit down with a 1.5-year-old and go, no? Say it with me now. No. No. And after that, honey, you use the words, I do it my way. The human flaws and frailties are still there. But as they grow, somehow we have managed as a culture to move them away from God. We need to do just the opposite as we think of this time of year. What is Christmas about? It's not about the presents. We already got a present. Every one of us, it came long ago. And it's a present that's better than any present you could possibly ever get. Because it's the present of salvation and eternal life. It means when you die, you don't die, you just transition. I know that sounds kind of like an N word. No, it's not. It's not. I had a parishioner years ago that Dan had terrible dementia. And I had gone in to see her the day before and brought her communion. What was amazing was she had dementia, but every time I would do communion with her, she would remember all of the communion service. She didn't even have to look at the little thing I gave her. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that? There's something to be said for liturgy, folks. There's something to be said for learning the things and understanding what they mean. They come back at a time when you need them most. The next morning, I got a call. They said Dan had died. By the way, Dan was her nickname. It was because her initials were D-A-N. And so for her whole life, Dan. Dan had passed, and I went over to the hospital, and the nurse came up to me and said, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah, I'd be glad to." He said, "It's the strangest thing." He says, "But I believe it." He said, "I went in this morning to wake her up, and I said, 'Miss Dan, it's time to get up.' She said, 'Leave me alone, I'm crying.'" He said, "Well, she said that before." So I didn't think anything of it. And I said, "Come on, Miss Dan." She says, "No, please, don't you see him? He's come to get me." Who, Miss Dan? Jesus. He says, "Well, I'm going to leave you alone." He came in 30 minutes later and she was gone. He says, "Pastor, do you think that's true?" I said, "Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus came in, put a hand on her shoulder, and said, 'Dorothy, let's go home. You've had enough.'" We've had some losses in this congregation this year. People who have lost their spouses, lost their mother. I want to tell you that they're not gone. They're not gone. They are in eternal life. They are in heaven. You will see them again if you accept the salvation that God has given us. A child that came. Why did he come as a child? So that we wouldn't have been intimidated. What if he had come as an adult and thunderbolts everywhere? And the earth quaked. And every time he spoke, people fell in fear. See, that's what they all thought about God. Why did he come as a baby? How can you be afraid of a baby? I'm guessing that some of the shepherds came up and looked and said, "He's beautiful. He's beautiful." And then they probably did what most adults do. Right? We lose our minds with babies. La, 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 la. Remember, he was human. He was divine, but he is also human. And he came so that we could connect and we could understand. He comes. But the last reading tells you who he was. He's the Word. And the Word was with God in the beginning. In fact, before the beginning, the Word was with God. And the Word is God. Jesus is God. And we, this evening, can put our trust in him. And in doing so, have everlasting life. You think about that. Amen. Amen. this is an opportunity that I get where I am going to give you the blessing that is given as a part of the holy orders in the Anglican, also in the Roman Catholic Church, in the Lutheran Church. It is equally given in the Methodist Church, in many churches. And this is what that I have. After I do the blessing, I'm going to ask if Rodney and Catherine will come up and bring their candles with them, their small candles, and then light their candle from the Christ candle. That's the center one here. And then they're going to come out to their respective sides, and if you will hold your candle up, they will light your candle. Don't tip yours. They will tip theirs to you. Okay? And then just pass that light along as we go through. And once we've gotten far enough along, we're going to start and we'll sing our last carol, Silent Night. Now, don't freak. I want to make sure that you're aware of what's happening. It's not one of those rolling blackouts that we've had today. We are going to dim. We'll finish the hymn in candlelight only. And we will do that last verse without accompaniment. So, my blessing to you. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who by Almighty God's providence came among us in great humility, may you, each one of you, be blessed by the light of his blessing and be set free from all sin. May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await make you steadfast in faith, joyful in confident expectation, and constant in love. May you who rejoice in the first advent of our Redeemer, at his second advent, rejoice in reward in heaven. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Spirit, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. I'm sorry about your jets. Yes.